this meeting is called to order. Roll call, please.
Dale Davis.
Here.
Rusty Fricke.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Andrew McElroy.
Here.
Rich Neuenhaus. Susan Payne.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Greg Romano.
Here.
Robert Wall.
I'm here. This meeting has been advertising compliant to the Open Public Meetings Act. Adequate notice has been given by posting on the bulletin board of the Highlands Council and by providing notice in the papers of record for the Highlands. Please rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our first item of business is approval of the minutes from November of 2018. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
By Mr. Davis, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Richko. Roll call, please.
Director Davis.
Yes.
Director Frick.
Yes.
Director Holtaway. Director Holtaway.
Yes.
Director McElroy.
Yes.
Director Neuenhaus. Director Payne.
I'll abstain. I was not here.
Director Richko.
Yes.
Director Romano.
Yes.
Chairman Wall.
Yes. Okay, minutes are approved. Chairman's report, the only thing I will report is we are here to talk about the municipal average methodology for assessing the value of property that are purchased through open space programs. This was brought to the Highlands' attention by members of the public who solicited the Highlands to investigate this as a means of assessing land. So we have taken up that request and done some investigation of our own, and we're here to talk about it with the bank board today. So that'll be the only thing we'll be doing. There'll be no decisions made today, no votes other than vote to adjourn. This is simply just for us to get a earful about this methodology of evaluating land. Executive Director, anything to report?
Yes, I do have a brief report, Mr. Chairman. So on July 11th, Highlands Council staff will be hosting a training session for new bank directors. This will include a review of materials provided in the 2018 bank director manual that were handed out at November's meeting, as well as some additional background material. All bank directors are welcome to attend. If you would like to join us, please let us know by July 3rd so we can prepare appropriately. I have an update under new HDC purchase program applications. From this May 16th through June 17th, 29 new HDC program applications were received. Highlands Council staff is now reviewing these for eligibility under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Grant Program, which requires a 50% match, which does present a challenge in this round, especially since the HDC bank has effectively spent out its state and mitigation dollars. In addition, just wanted to alert you that there are some pending changes to federal appraisal standards being considered by the Department of Interior, which may impact the ability to apply for this funding. A quick update under Highlands Development Credit Allocations. I wanted to let you know that to date, a total of 176 allocations have been issued. 3,818.5 HDCs allocated. Total number of acres allocated, 6,939.65, with a total credit value of $61,096,000. And then just a quick update for the purchase program for 2016. Our current totals are we've made 62 offers, 53 have been accepted, 11 offers were declined or rescinded, we've completed 40 closings, and we have 11 closings still pending. And then finally, under the certificates update, as you know, when HDCs are certified, properties are preserved under the HDC easement. These figures represent the total number of HDCs certified, the actual payout to landowners for the sale of those HDCs, and the total acres preserved under HDC easements to date. To date, we've issued 60 unique HDC certificates. HDCs certified are 1,454. The bank purchases total 22 million $848,000 worth of credits, and the total acres preserved is 1,977.39. And finally, as I think you know, in April, the Highlands Council issued its 2018 annual report. An HDC bank report is included in that annual report beginning on page 19, and I believe there's a hard copy of that report for your reference in members' packets. And that is it for my report.
Okay, well, thank you for the update. One thing I know that I'd be interested in hearing is how much money we've actually put in the pocket of landowners, not just the acres of land we've reserved. So next time we can get that number as well, that'd be wonderful. And also for the edification of the bank board members, if you recall, we bought credits the last round by using money that we had from the PC&G mitigation and also some money that was given to us through open space funds. There is no funding that we have to match the federal grant, so we are counting on open space applicants who have part of that open space purchase committed from either a municipality, a county, or a land trust, and then we will use the federal money to match the other half of that cost. And that is how we're trying to apply for this federal grant, but as Lisa said, that's becoming more and more challenging with each passing day. So we would certainly help if we had our own dedicated stream of funding. I'd be remiss if I didn't repeat that, but that's not likely to come. I don't think it's in this budget, and I don't think it'll be the next one either, but we can keep trying. All right, that brings us to our the reason we're all here, the municipal average discussion, and who's going to be leading us in that?
I will.
All right, Director. James.
So we'll start basically. There's a memo that was included in your packet dated June 20th, and I'll start with briefly talking about the dual appraisal methodology that's used to value property in the Highlands region for both farmland preservation and green acres preservation projects. The dual appraisal methodology is used, which values property based on the development development regulations that were in effect at the time of the Act and current development regulations. And the negotiations with the property owner start based on the highest of those two values, and the it's been represented to us that it's getting more and more difficult to obtain the before Act values of those properties, the values based on the regulations to take into account the regulations prior to the Highlands Act. Municipal average values may present an alternative way to obtain the values from before the Act. We're here today because the HDC Bank is the only entity that can establish a municipal average value. The statutes that apply do not define what municipal average value is. It just uses the term municipal average value. There's no estimate based on any of the work we've done that we could provide to you on how much a municipal average value would be. There's two statutes that apply that talk about municipal average value. The first was amended when the Highlands Act was adopted to say that the Farmland Preservation Program may use a municipal average value. Principally may, they're not required to use any value that the HDC Bank established. The second says that the HDC Bank is the entity that would establish the municipal average value in the preservation area of the Highlands. And most importantly, that it shall only be used when the HDC Bank itself is purchasing the development potential of property in the preservation area. And this is kind of one of the dichotomies that arises in the statutes here, in that if the board is to establish a municipal average value, that value, being a TDR bank, has to not interfere with the private market for credits in the region. So the Highlands Council adopted an initial credit value in the TDR technical report, and that was the value established for the bank to purchase credits at. But it wasn't specifically a municipal average value. There's many factors taken into account in that calculation. There's zoning factors, there's location factors, there's multiple values across different municipalities, even within municipalities, and it's all based on development potential prior to the Act. And again, since there's no clear definition of what a municipal average value means, it's impossible to just equate one with the other. In addition, you know, we estimate the number of HDCs that can be applied to a property through our HDC estimator. And it's important to note that that's just an estimate, that that's not a final number. Anybody has to come to us for a final number. So basically, to summarize, the HDC Bank can establish a municipal average value. The SADC, through the Farmland Preservation Program, may use that municipal average value. The statutes state that the HDC bank has to establish a value that it can use to purchase credits.
Has to or may?
No, it says it shall only be used.
Okay.
So the value that the municipal average of the HDC bank should, must reflect the fact that the HDC bank is only to use it for its own purchases. That's not to say that the SADC bank can't then take that value and use it. Sorry, the SADC can't take that value and use it, but the HDC bank has to recognize that it has to balance the fact that it's establishing a value, but it's only for its own purchases and therefore can't impact the private market. And that's really where we are, is we as staff don't have a clear definition of what municipal average value is or even how it would be calculated. We believe that the work that was done through the TDR technical report, although that the data behind it may be valuable data because it's economic data based on prior to the act, that the calculations done to manipulate data into the current initial credit value is probably not a municipal average value because of all the adjustments that were made. So I think the bank needs to probably discuss this a bit more and maybe seek some additional legal advice and interpretation of the statutes, because the statutes seem to, I don't want to say disagree with each other, but there's certainly no clear interpretation of the statutes that are available. And there's certainly no case law or anything. It's a very unique, very pointed statute.
Can you speak up? I think some folks are having trouble hearing you back.
Sorry. Okay. And that's really my summary.
Okay. Well, you're a planner by profession, correct? We haven't had a lawyer by profession on staff, so what's the legal opinion? Or the planner opinion, what's the legal opinion of what the law says or does not say?
Yeah, well, it's one of those situations where there's conflicting statutes, there's no definition of municipal averages. We have not asked for an opinion from the Department of Law on this. My guess is that they've come to the same conclusion as me, is that because of inartful drafting of of these statutes, there's no definition. There's no reasonable way to conclude that you have a, I can definitively say this is how you establish a municipal average.
Okay. So absent the statutory definition, I've been in public office for 15, was in public office for 15 years, been out of it for 2 years, it's the best 2 years of my life. And but that's not a term that I had heard in my time in public office. I've heard lots of different terms, and some of them had statutory definitions, some of them had common definitions. So is there a common definition, a Rutgers School of Planning definition for municipal average? Is there some, this term did not come, I would think, this term did not just get pulled out of thin air, although perhaps it was. Someone must have had some sort of working knowledge of what this meant, and therefore there's a common understanding of what this means. Is that not the case?
Presumably. And in that case, I would defer to the planner.
No, I understood. I'm
not aware of any in discussions we've had, you know, internally and with Director Payne and others. There's certainly no consensus on to what a municipal average value means. I think this is a very narrow part of the law. It's not used frequently. TDR is not used frequently, so this has never arisen before. And I think basically the HDC bank will be the one that leads this forward and decides what to do.
I guess you could take the total value of the land in a town, divide by the total acres, and there's your municipal average. That'd be a real short way, correct? And presumably that could be a way of doing it. Now, I'm not suggesting that is the way, but that's very rough, very rudimentary.
There's very many ways you could do it. I mean, the way the initial credit value was calculated was very complex.
Right.
But again, you could develop a methodology that's very simple. It's really, and then you have to balance that with the fact that, you know, you can't really impact the private market with the value because you're an HDC bank. So there's very many balls in the air here.
The private market. Where does this private market reside?
Right. Obviously, there's no private market that exists, but you still have to recognize that there's a potential for a private market, and if the HDC bank was to establish a value that was over and above, that would always prevent the creation of a private market. That would seem to go against the intent of the statute and the purpose of the HDC bank.
So that's a very loaded word, intent of the statute, about which you have very different opinions about what was the intent of this statute. Fair-minded or the generous definition of the intent of the statute is to preserve water for the residents of New Jersey and to improve and preserve the environment. The pejorative view of the intent of the statute is to stop any development in a certain section of the state for the benefit of others. So there are two very different opinions about what the intent of the statute is. The statute also has a flaw. I've argued it's fatal in that you cannot create receiving areas. Without being able to dictate receiving areas, you fail to have a functioning TDR market. And without a functioning TDR market, this whole notion of competing against the private market seems to be, I'm trying to think of the right word for
fictional?
It.
Fictional?
Yeah, there's a good word for it. So what then do we do? What is the, how do we keep ourselves from competing
there's
against
no
this
market
that doesn't exist? Right.
I guess you would need to get a legal opinion of how bound you are by the statutes, by the state TDR Act.
That was a much rhetorical question. It's a serious one, but thank you for attempting to answer it. So.
Can't the bank change what they've done going forward if there does happen to, if the legislature did something and said, okay, we're going to create a market, or something started to create a market,
they would have,
you can go back and change it.
Yeah, they would have to give someone the authority to create receiving areas.
Right.
For the Highlands properties.
When we set this whole thing up, you know, there was hope back at the beginning that, oh, the legislature was going to do something. They were going to give us a funding stream. They were going to give us something. Well, nothing's happened. I don't see anything happen. People are just forgetting about the whole thing.
I'm trying to be a little
except
more.
Except a few people in this room.
I'm trying to be a dutiful chairman and be a little more neutral than your statement just was. But if I were on the council and Carl was in the chair, I would be saying the same thing. So, as Carl knows. We can or we must create a methodology for the municipal cost average, is the first question. Are we obligated to do this?
No.
Okay. So we can simply punt and not do anything about it, correct? Again,
yes.
And what would be the harm if we did nothing other than landowners who might benefit from having this methodology used to assess their values? What other harm would be done if we did not do this?
I don't see any other harm than the one you just started.
So the impetus to this, from my understanding, is that there are applicants for open space purchases who have had their property assessed using the dual appraisal method, and the original value that was estimated was not what they felt it should have been, or not what they felt it could have been had a different methodology been used to assess that value. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say in one case. I think in other cases that have been told to us, it's not necessarily the values themselves, as just it gets more and more difficult to get an accurate appraisal of the values based on the standards at the time of the act. Understandably so, because the comparables available disappear over time.
Understood.
So the further and further you move away, the more it gets difficult.
The comparables disappear. In the farmland preservation program, if a property sells, then it's not, it can't be, the next owner can't go back to that either. Now, I don't know what that would be with the municipal average, if that would carry through. Susan might be able to answer that.
Yeah, there's a lot swirling here. Let me just say that from our perspective, or from my perspective, I haven't really discussed this with the SADC, but what we see happening is we're 15 years into the Highlands Act, right? And so when we do appraisals for the Farmland Preservation Program, you look at the hypothetical before value, which based on dual appraisal, the legislature has directed us to assume the pre-existing zoning is still in effect, right? So a property that's got whatever, 25 or 88 acre effective zoning today, the appraiser's looking at it as though it still has its 2 or 5 acre old zoning, right? The only way to do an appraisal is to use comparable sales, right? Well, there are no comparable sales in the Highlands region for that kind of zoning anymore. So the appraisers are either forced to go outside of the Highlands to try to find land that's similarly zoned, which gets you into a completely different market usually, or they're making, you know, sort of hypothetical time adjustments to pretend that zoning still is here. And it's getting so hypothetical in the before that at some point you gotta say, well, you know, really 50 years from now are we gonna be sitting here still pretending there's 2 acre zoning in place? Like, that just does not seem sustainable to me long-term, right? The governor just signed the bill Wednesday. to extend dual appraisal for another 5 years. But, you know, is that the ultimate solution? I kind of think not. So something seems to me needs to change. And so with respect to the after value, however, there is current, you know, comparable sales in the Highlands of farms that are being purchased that are, you know, preserved. So the after value is accurate market-wise, but there is no accurate market before value. So that process is, to me, is just starting to break down. And so there are other options on the table. You know, the municipal average could potentially be one of them. Seeking to do easement values via a totally different formula could be an option. There's, I think what we need to do is figure out what needs to be done. You know, there's a statutory framework that's in place that's got competing and somewhat conflicting terms in it. So this is not an easy lift to just, like, you know, flip a switch and have this work. But I think if we could figure out what trajectory we want to be on, I think we could go to the legislature and get these things reconciled to make some sense out of it.
Well, that was sort of my initial question is, so is this something that the bank wants to do? And what is the compelling reason for the bank to do it? And I'm sympathetic to creating a methodology that gives harmed landowners more value for their land than otherwise might be given to them. That I'm in favor of. I'm not in favor of creating yet another mechanism of assessing land that is based upon some odd or tough to grasp means that may or may not be accurate, simply because the old one was terrible. So we're going to create another, a second terrible methodology because the old one is more terrible. I'm not sure that's the way to go either. So I'm not sure that we should do anything at this point. That's sort of my first instinct is, don't create more rules, regulations, stuff if you don't need to. I guess one question about that I have is, when a landowner is selling their farm and the SDC is involved and says, okay, we'll give you X amount of dollars for your farm, you base that on the dual appraisal method, and is that a ceiling for those entities that want to buy the farm, or is that a starting point? Is that a floor? What is that?
So the statutes between Green Acres and SADC are a little different.
Okay.
So, but for the SADC, when the appraisals get done, if one appraisal yields an $8,000 value and the other appraisal, you know, yields $9,500, under our statutes, the easement value paid by the county or the town must be between them. Cannot be higher than that highest. Sometimes we'll certify a value in between the appraisals, but that upper appraisal is a statutory upper limit. The Green Acres program, my understanding is, they have the appraisals conducted, they determine a value, certify a value for their purposes, and then they use that as a basis for negotiation.
But it's neither a ceiling or a floor, it's just a starting point.
I tend to think it's a ceiling, okay. But we can ask Green Acres that.
Okay.
I think another thing to keep in mind here is the municipal average, you know, functionality that's created in the statute, as far as I can tell, and maybe you know more than I do, only applies to the farmland preservation program. So basically it says, you know, a bank can establish a municipal average and the SADC can use that municipal average for determination of its easement values, but it doesn't similarly amend the Green Acres statutes and say, oh, and the Green Acres program could do so too.
I'm getting James nodding, so that's your understanding as well, James?
So
this, the only thing, if we went down this road and we brought in the best minds from the landowner advocates, the environmental advocates, planners, lawyers, mathematicians, and developed the perfect municipal cost average formula, the only people that would be using it would be the SADC to perhaps make a larger offer or have a larger ceiling when buying farmland. That's the only thing for which this would be used, correct?
I think you would need statutory
unless this law is
amendment
changed.
Oh, okay. to apply it to the Green Acres program as well. That's my understanding.
And you don't know if it's higher or more accurate is probably all you can say.
More accurate is probably what?
All you can say. You couldn't say it would be higher because you don't know what the calculations were. I'd just also like to point out that the Highlands Council, when they adopted the recommendations report, adopted a policy to, you know, recommend permanently extending the dual appraisal methodology. So this play, that also plays into this, that long term, it, you know, gets harder and harder to do those appraisals. You know, the policy of the Highlands Council, you know, some action will need to be taken to recognize that some alternate valuation needs to be instituted if that methodology is to be continued, in, you know, into the foreseeable future.
Okay. I have nothing more to, any more silly questions to ask or rhetorical statements to make. Mr. Frick, do you have anything you want to ask or chime in about at this point?
Not yet.
Okay, that's fine. That's a perfectly fine answer. I've heard from Susan. Anything else, Ms. Payne, you want to chime in about at this point? Or?
Well, I just want to say that I don't quite agree with staff's assessment that it's a complete mystery how we would go about establishing a municipal average if we wanted to. You know, I think the statute's pretty clear. It says, you know, the municipal average shall generally reflect the market value prior to the effective date of the development transfer ordinance. So it's basically telling you, you know, it was an equity protection mechanism. There's no two ways about it. That's what it was intended to do. So that's one set of data. What, you know, what do we think the values kind of were? We also have another huge set of data, which is we have 15 years of land conservation work, both in green acres and farmland preservation, which is a whole lot of data about what the development potential value that's been paid for those 15 years is, right? And then we have the $16,000 per credit value, the HDC bank. So, you know, the methodology isn't spelled out, you know, per the law. But I think as if the bank were to pursue this, I think we could figure that out with some, you know, with some assistance.
I think you're right. The challenge will be that we'll come up with a formula that will assess these properties close to what the data shows, but there will be someone who comes out behind who will fault the formula, someone who comes out ahead who will fault the formula, as with anything. So this is, you're still walking into this.
Well, we're never
trap of uncertainty. No,
right.
I understand.
We're never going to make everybody happy.
No,
that's
understood.
Not our job.
Understood.
Right?
No, I believe I know that all too well.
Right. as Mr. I know you do.
Mr. Davis, anything you want to add or ask at this point?
I'd just like to add that I think that it's important that the bank should take this up. You know, I'll tell you that I'm the chair of the County Ag Development Board, and it's affecting our ability to be able to preserve farmland. So I think it's, and the only place this can be taken up is here. And I think that there was a lot of work done on it previously when it first came out. I'm assuming those professionals are around. If the staff or the professionals aren't here now, that they could reach out to some of them and get, you know, information from them or whatever has to be done.
And the reason being because the data that is currently being used is not as accurate as you think this methodology would provide?
Hoping that this, as stated before, the, you know, the 15-year-old, there's no comps out there. It's just not, okay. And it's not practical to go out of the region to find it. And honestly, I see what the, you know, I see the appraisals come back, and it's tough to find stuff.
Chairman Richko, can you want to chime in to add at this point?
I'm good. I'm okay. Sure we're going to hear from the public on their thoughts also. And it should be noted that we do have a written comment that was submitted by Debbie Post.
I read it right up until the insults of staff, and I stopped reading.
Right.
Mr. Holtaway, anything you wish to chime in on or ask at this point?
As been mentioned, you know, every single piece of property is unique. And on a municipal average basis, you would have winners and losers. And those with the poor property would be really anxious to sell, and those with the good would not be happy. So, you know, every town does have its variation. And again, we have the whole issue of inflation and changes in values and maintenance of these municipal values. And then we have to take a look at the volume of the use. How many of these are coming up? And as I understand it, the dual appraisal only applies to somebody who owned the property in 2004. We're 15 years into this whole process now, and you know that number of properties is going to be dropping off, as at some point dropping rapidly as we move along. So it is indeed a dilemma, and I think we really need to buckle down and get on it.
Okay. Mr. McElroy, anything you wish to ask or add? If you're on mute, we can't hear you.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
It's a complicated subject that I definitely think we need to take up. I agree with the chairperson, that chairman, that they, you know, I'm in favor of trying to compensate landowners as best as possible, but I think Mr. Holtzway's comments, you know, fair, that I think this could establish a winner and loser type situation due to the variables, but I definitely think it's something we should take up and try to research further to see if we can come up with a methodology that works fairly for everyone.
Okay. Mr. Romano?
Yes, I think it's something we should also pursue. And even though it may only apply to the farmland preservation program, I still think it's worth pursuing because that's a significant part of our open space and farmland program. And I think it's something that, if after further exploration, you know, it shows that, you know, those landowners could benefit or there can be, a more, I guess, easily identifiable way of determining values, that would be certainly something that would be really an important element to the program.
So. Okay. All right. With that, we'll open up to the public. We don't have the big TV on the wall, so we'll have to use the honor system for 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Monique Purcell from the Department of Agriculture. Just want to applaud the bank board for moving up their meeting from August and actually starting to look at this subject. I think it's really important to pursue it, to dig in. We have a lot of smart people that can figure this out. As Susan said, a lot of data is out there, and we definitely need to find a different way to value land to the future. A couple of things we have to think about. We have permanent funding now, right, into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
We have a finite land base. So similar to the Pinelands, that's going back now and looking at their credits, their credit values, how much land is left to preserve, and how many credits they actually have. They're looking at making changes, right? So now maybe we need to have credits assigned for any housing that happens or any development at all. So I think it's really important as a bank board, and this authority rests with you, this opportunity rests with you, to please let's move forward and figure it out a different way. We're 15 years in, we're gonna get farther and farther away from reality or fiction, whatever it may be. So we strongly encourage you to continue and try to figure a different valuation process in the Highlands.
Thank you. Who's next? You're up, Hank.
Thanks for letting me speak here tonight, or afternoon, morning.
Mm-hmm. Morning, it's still morning. Don't rush the day.
You know, Mr. Davis is right. He's got a lot of comments there, and it makes sense. But I'm Hank Klump. I'm a farmer. I'm one of the farm landowners. I was just wondering, did anybody notice enough water everybody's got today? I know if you're trying to make hay, it's tough. Boy, I'll tell you. But my main thing here is, my name is Hank Klump, along with Dave Shrope here at Debbie Post. We have hold proxies of about 80 armed landowners authorized us to speak and advocate for their benefit in connection with the just compensation for property loss catastrophic by the Highlands Act. We have submitted copies of the proxy to the Highlands Council before. Debbie Post has some personal conflicts today and is disappointed to be unable to address you personally here this morning. I have our written comments submitted here and distributed copies to the board. I encourage you to read her comments in detail. A recent Highlands Council meeting, we were advised that the staff found the municipal average methodology complex and difficult, too difficult and complicated. That staff does not have a good handle on the work product of previous administration. It is not a good excuse to deduct the board's statutory duty to apply the municipal average approach to the values of easement sales, Section 31C of the Highlands Act, Agricultural Retention and Development Act requires a TDR bank to establish municipal averages for the purpose of easement values that may be used in lieu of appraisals. I really, it's been 15 years, and I can tell you, I've attended, I don't know how many of you, not the bank, but the Highland meetings, and it's just pushing a can further down the road. And, for a farmer's point of view, if you're working trying to make hay down there and it's wet in the valley, well, you're not going to cut the hay. It's time to change. You're going to go away. You know what I mean? But this thing here, it keeps going, but we're not getting anywhere. So I really would love the Highland staff or bank or whoever it is to really give this thing a shot. I mean, we sure in the hell need it. I mean, there's no easy way around it. What can I say? Thanks.
You're welcome.
This morning.
That was 3:21. So you got. All right. Who's next? Go ahead, sir. You're up.
Hi there. My name is Gordon Levy. I didn't plan to talk, but I decided to. I'm a newbie, so give me some leeway here. I'm confused about a little bit of some things. The dual appraisal, I assume it's looking at a time period of 2004 and not today, because if you were appraising something today without the act in existence, it would be easy because that's done every day. So if we look back at 2004, you had probably 400 or so municipal appraisers whose job was to appraise the land of their municipalities. There was people who liked those appraisals and didn't, and they went in front of their county tax boards and bought those appraisals. So you have data out there that exists from, say, 99 to 2003, 2004, with people contesting their assessments, right? So the Supreme Court of New Jersey erred many years ago when they said that individuals or businesses can't contest the land portion of their assessment, and they have to look at the entire portion and not the land or the improvement portion, which was a grave mistake, because we wouldn't be in this mess if people could go to their municipal appraisers and say, look, my land's not worth $1 million. It's worth $500,000, and maybe my improvement's worth another million, and I'm gonna contest my million and a half. So there's data out there from 2004 with municipal averages, like Mrs. Payne has stated, that says, hey, this is what this land was worth. There's you could look at someone else's land and say there's down the street, there was a retail existence, a retail presence. Someone there is paying, $100,000 a year in taxes. Their assessment was $3 million. Any developer would tell you, okay, if I was gonna build a comparable unit like that, I might have to pay 20 to 30% of that end value to purchase land to build that development. That's commonly used math today in the state of New Jersey. So if I was to want to develop a retail presence and it was going to cost me $15 million to build it, right? My calculation as a developer would say, all right, I got to pay $2 million, $3 million for that land. That's the value. That was the value in 2004. That's it. So I'm a little confused when people say, there's nothing out there to create this math. I mean, there's plenty of stuff to create this math. I mean, it's there. The other thing I'm confused about is if I was a private citizen and I had a dispute with a business partner in 2004, and we sold a piece of property, and we sold it for $3 million, and there was a dispute whether I owned 50% or 40% or whatever the land, and I went to court and I sued them. And a judge 15 years later decided, hey, you were right, Mr. Levy, you deserve $3 million from that sale. The judge would rule, I get $3 million plus statutory interest till today. Why doesn't the council or the bank use some sort of math like a court would use, where they would say, all right, look, we owed you in 2004, we owed you this amount of money. Why not give you this amount of money plus some sort of statutory interest, whatever that may be? The other thing I'm confused about is I've received, I'm almost done. I received two allocations recently, and I just for my own edification, want to know if there's anything publicly available out there that contains the current algorithms used to do this math of creating these HDCs. So that's a general question. So I have other things, but I've been, my red light's up. So.
Yes, and you got an extra minute, and then.
I appreciate it. I'll speak for 2 minutes next time if I talk.
So
thank you.
The short answer to your last question is yes, the methodology for assessing credits is available, and you can speak to one of the staff here. They can certainly send you that the means to assess those credits. Yes, there's data out there, but as Mr. Holthway said, one property is always a little different than another, and that presents the challenge. And also, bear in mind that a municipal assessment is not the same thing as the fair market value of the property. So there's plenty of municipal assessment data out there that doesn't necessarily represent the fair market value of that property, which is why there's all
right.
of this.
But that's why I said you look at the contestant.
Your comments are finished, so this is me answering, and
I'm sorry.
Back to your spot. Okay.
I'm a newbie at this.
That's all right. Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah,
thank you.
Who's next? Go ahead. I'll get to you in the back, sir. You're up.
My name is David Shope, and I've owned a farm in Lebanon Township since 1971. First, let me say that what you have before you is the work of Debbie Post, who was I know she's spoken to Dale about her physical condition, and it has resulted in typos and stuff like that that you normally don't expect from Debbie when she hands anything in. As a matter of fact, she's in New York City right now with her doctors looking to figure out what's the best thing to do next. I've noticed that Ms. Main has said that the pilot is doing an assessment as to how much land is yet to be quote preserved unquote versus the amount of land that has been preserved. I don't think the Highlands Council has done any such assessment, and you really should. It's part of the work you need to do. I think the land that is quote preserved by the bank and buying development credits is a tiny fraction of the land that has been impacted by this law. You should make this assessment. Let's see how small a slice you've done over the past 10 or so years that the bank has been in existence. I think you'll find the number pathetic. And what we have the raw data available. It was done by Integra way back when, under the aegis of Swan and Borden. And these numbers are in the data that Debbie has furnished you. And what the Highlands Council did, without any explanation to date, is take Integra's work and discount it by 75%. The 16 grand that you're offering per TDR credit is a result of a 75% discount from Integra's work. Explain to the public how that happens. The public needs to know, and you, the board, need to tell the applicants exactly how you get the 16 grand. Let them know how bad you're screwing them, in the interest of transparency and full disclosure. And there are people out there who did this work in the beginning for Integra. Matt Krauser's good. He's probably still around. I really don't know. Jeff LaJava was a Highlands Council staff attorney at the time this happened, under Swan and Borgen, and he elected to leave, but as he has a law license, he can be found. So if you need help for fifth grade mathematics, Jeff LaJava or Matt Krauser can help you. What this act has really done is it has denied us up here in the Highlands, particularly the preservation area, the free market. We have no access to the free market. The free market does not exist up here. So when you talk about appraisals and crap like that, you are basically putting us in a colonial status. And explain that to the people that come basically before you looking to sell their TDR credits, discounted it by 75%, I consider it an act of desperation on their part. They all have their own reasons for doing it, and none of it is because it's a square deal.
Dave,
thank you.
All right, thank you, Dave. Sir, in the back, you had your hand up. Come on up.
My name's Hayden Lowe, and I'm one of those property owners been screwed. And, you know, when you look at, I understand you're all doing public good, but the system is rigged. So eventually, us old people is just going to become dirt. And you guys will all win. The state will win. So, and I'm one of the guys that says, well, something is better than nothing. And so I decided to try and get one of the HDCs. I agreed to sell it from 2016, and we still haven't closed. And we've been ready to close for more than a year. And now the issue is, well, out of the $9 million that was allocated for these approvals to purchase, somehow the money disappeared. And the council have to look for money from the Fish and Wildlife to supplement. But initially, when the resolution went through, that $9 million was from the utilities. There was no other money other than utilities. And yet, I've been told, oh, we gotta negotiate with the U.S. Fish Wildlife to get the money to close. And the U.S. and Fish Wildlife want to deny people the opportunity to build one house on their lot. So something is going on, and I like to know what is going on. How much of the $9 million remain? What happened to the $9 million that was allocated in 2016? You got the numbers, tell us.
Is anything else, do you have any more comment to make, sir, or are you concluded?
I'm done.
Okay, so let me answer some of your comments. First of all, this is the first I'm hearing that there is an issue with making payment to property owners who accepted an offer from the bank board for a credit purchase. So I will find out why you're in limbo and not having closed. And it very well could be possible that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is creating issues for us with closing on these properties. If that's the case, we will try to work through that. The goal of the people on this bank board, and me especially, is to put money in the pockets of landowners. So we don't, so let me, sir, you had your comment, I had my comment, then we'll go to the next person, okay?
I'm just
understood.
So that you misunderstood that.
Okay.
There was no U.S. wildlife money allocated to that.
So we will
purchase.
Well, I'll find out if that's the case or not. I will find out about your property and we'll get you an answer. Two, I hope we're doing good. I'm not so sure when I walk out of here that we have done good most days. And it's the ripoff, and Hank talked about the 16th, the 75%. Yes, that's entirely true. That credits were assessed at $64,000, and the bank has been offering to pay $16,000 because when the bank created that dollar value, it was to avoid competing with the market that was supposed to be created. That never came about. So, yes, there's no one has any, there's no deception. We know full well what's being done. It doesn't make it right. And as you said, you took what you could and are trying to run away with the money.
I understand what you said at the beginning, that, you know, if there was no receiving zone, the system doesn't work. So,
but bear in mind that the people on this, at this dais, and people who sit at the dais of the Highlands Council, did not make this system. We are trying to manage a poorly crafted system to the best we can. So I share your frustration.
We are doing what we're trying to do. I have nothing against the board members.
Well, you'd be allowed to. It's okay.
It's just the system.
All right. Understood. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to speak? Yes.
Morning. Catherine Coyle, the Morris CADB. I just very briefly, we had sent a letter to the Highlands Council asking for assistance with preservation of farmland in Morris County. The majority of our farms are targeted farms for preservation are in the Highlands Preservation area, and the inability to obtain appropriate comparable sales has really hampered our ability to preserve farmland further. Our landowners don't have confidence in the appraisals at this point because such a long time has passed and the comps are just not available. So I just want to reiterate what was said by others, Chairman Davis, Ms. Payne, and Monique Purcell, that we encourage the Highlands Bank to develop these municipal averages and assist us with preservation of remaining farmland within the preservation area.
Thank you for being under the 3 minutes. First one today. All right, who's next? No one. Oh, okay.
Wayne Green, New Jersey Farm Bureau. I'll try and keep it brief. I will say, I think one of the places you should start and looking, and encouraged by most of the board members through their comments that you want to pursue this, is going back to the work that was originally done to establish a Highlands Development Credit Formula. There was a municipal average. What was that based on? What did the work do? And go from there. You've got a roadmap. Susan said there's data everywhere, and I think you get the right experts in, you guys will have a clearer picture. I'll concur with Susan's estimate. The reason it's there in the Act, it was an equity protection tool, and that should be one of the things that you should be looking at as you do this, is protecting the equity of the Highlands, giving landowners flexibility and options and choices. And that's really what we think this program can do and should be doing. Forward. So,
we'll
end it there.
Okay. Thanks. No, thank you. Thank you for keeping it short. You're a man of your word. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay. So, my suggestion is that staff begin to investigate how to create a municipal cost average, and a very kind young lady has given you a roadmap if you wish to follow that. We have a roadmap for the process that we've done previously. Carl, I guess they're your staff, not the bank staff, so I can't really direct them to do this stuff, but I assume that you would concur that we should look at this.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
Okay. Yeah. And then our next meeting for the board is August?
No. This is in place of the August meeting.
Okay, so
November.
November. So that certainly seems to me to be plenty of time for us to develop something to bring to the public, correct?
Certainly back to, yes.
Okay. And I would think that we would probably, would behoove us to have a committee of the bank board who would be interested in looking at this and help move this along, and maybe we would move the meeting up if we were able to do so to address this issue. So do we have any volunteers? Ms. Payne? And Mr. Romano, Mr. McElroy, are your hands up? Is that what I see? Now, anybody else wish to volunteer? If you don't wish to speak so now, just reach out to me or Carl or to Lisa and let us know. I have another.
I would do it. This is Hank McElroy. I would do it.
And Mr. Frick, all right, so we have Frick, McElroy, and Payne. Sounds like a wonderful law firm. and they will work on, they will be the committee and set up meetings with staff to manage their progress. And if it warrants, we'll try to have a bank meeting earlier than scheduled, so we can bring this to the public and get the public's feedback on our work product to date. And then at some point, we will approve a methodology, and that'll become the municipal average methodology, which will be then can be used by the SADC if they choose. Right? Okay. Any other comments or questions from the dais?
I think we're going to need some more legal opinions on this, too, besides planning. It's very complicated, and so not only planning, but the legal department has to be involved in this, too.
Our legal department has 2 days left.
One day.
Actually.
Half a day.
4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah, but I 4 hours.
Mr. Chairman, just so first of all, thank you, and it's been a pleasure working with everybody. But Christine LaRocca, who's senior counsel, will be after today, will be acting chief counsel, and she you're in good hands. So,
okay.
You're not going to be missing me that much.
So, yes, we have. Okay. So before I take a motion to adjourn, John, I want to thank you for the work you've done. It was my pleasure to interview you, to hire you. You never know when you hire people if they're going to work out, and you worked out marvelously. I think that people on both sides of the dais have enjoyed seeing the work product you've given to us. And there's always, whenever this has been so politically charged, this council and certainly the last governor and the choices that we made, and to see you handle things in an apartisan way, fairness to both sides across the board, I just thought was really speaks to your character, and I just want to thank you for your service and wish you well in retirement.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I'm very impressed by you too, so thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.